Chapter 62.
From an older brother, the compulsion weave is weak, Your Holiness,
Hopper said.
It won't hold a determined Ethling for long.
I know. I was the son who was able to break it when my father used it on me, Dorian said. He'd had another dream last night, and again couldn't remember it. But it had left him with a headache again. His talent for prophecy was healing faster than he'd expected. But for the time being, it was useless to him. He couldn't remember his dreams, and the only thing that banished the pain was using the veer. It put him in a foul mood.
I'm sorry, Your Holiness. I'd forgotten.
The plan had come together with frightening ease. Dorian was his father's son. He'd spent days thinking about what he might have missed, and had found no flaw.
The oath is a distraction. You tell them that their reward for swearing loyalty will be choosing a concubine to marry. That will sound like a very Southern thing to do.
Very weak.
It will give the Ethlings hope. Hope and lust will keep them from organizing a defense. After each chooses, I want him led out by that concubine past his brothers, who will be waiting in line. The women should be dressed beautifully, and of course they should know nothing except that they are to lead the Ethling to one of the empty upper apartments. Each Ethling should be very lightly guarded, but heavily watched. You understand?
These are my brothers, they're not stupid.
On the way, kill them. If you have a handful of soldiers and 3 or 4 Verdmeisters, you know we can trust. That should be enough to take care of all of them, at least with the compulsion spell in place. Their faces are not to be destroyed. I will require a precise accounting and viewing of the bodies. When you're done, isolate any of the God King's seeds who are too young to show whether they are witchborn. Kill them. Induce abortions on the pregnant concubines. Letting any grow up to see who's witchborn will give my enemies chances to smuggle them out.
Very prudent, Your Holiness, Hopper said.
His only expression was appreciation for a solid plan. It was brutal, but it wasn't cruel. Dorian took no joy in this. He would strike once to the root and rip out much of what made this kingdom a hell for its people. This way was kinder than waiting for dozens of Ethlings to coerce hundreds of others into their plots. Dorian could wait and have executions every month for years, and his people would live in terror as dark as his father had encouraged. Or he could be as brutal as the North itself, and his people would live in peace. Unafraid. It would be a clean slate, a new start. Dorian would be one hope. Not for his own despair, but because those who opposed him must despair.
Yes, Dorian said. Monstrous but prudent.
Hopper didn't know how to respond. He bowed low. The God King dismissed him. It was a horror to be a god. On his wedding day, God King Wanhope waded in blood. He'd known that his father had 146 children, but seeing them dead and oozing and stinking, expressions frozen in death, bodies still warm, not all the blood congealed, was something else entirely. With Veer, he blotted out his sense of smell as he examined the boys. He'd run out of suitable concubines before he'd run out of Ethlings to slaughter. That meant that some of the women, each of whom had witnessed the murder of an Ethling she had expected to be her new master, had to make 2 trips. Only those who'd been splattered with blood were excused. It had worked, though, because the Ethlings who'd come later were the youngest and the least likely to pick up on a concubine's anxiety. They'd got them all. 3 of the older boys, 3, had broken the compulsion and fought, killing 1 Verdmeister and 2 soldiers. In a perverse way, Dorian was proud of the boys. God King Wanhope took his time, steeled against the sight of dead children. Vipers, all of them. He was the fluke. He had always been the only one of his brothers with any moral sense. Vipers couldn't be tamed. He couldn't flinch now. He had to know if the job was done, or if he needed to be looking over his shoulder for the rest of his reign for a Verdmeister who could hide his veer and betray the God King himself, as he had in his own youth. He paid special attention to those whose faces had been damaged, but in each case he could still smell the faint residue of his compulsion spell on their flesh, and he'd tied it in an unusual way so that he would recognize his own work. That was why he had to examine the bodies immediately. If a Verdmeister had betrayed him and hidden an Ethling, the traitor would have to find a boy of the correct age, kill him, and destroy his face, change his clothing, examine the God King's weave, and notice that it had been altered, and how it had been altered, and lay it on the dead boy himself. It was all possible, but barely. And by the time he was finished inspecting the boys, the God King was sure it hadn't been done. The next room was worse. Though there was no blood in it, except what came in on the God King's white robes, Hopper had gathered all the wives and concubines. The 15 women who had been pregnant were lined up against one wall. The God King walked past them, touching swollen bellies and feeling no life within. Then he moved past the rest, feeling to see if any were pregnant. He took his time. A weave to hide a pregnancy was easier magically than disguising the dead, but a bigger risk for a Verdmeister. There was no guarantee that the hidden child would be witchborn, much less suitable for an ambitious Verdmeister to ride to the Caladoran throne. As he moved from woman to woman, he noticed something disquieting. There was no hatred in their eyes. He had made them help him murder 146 children. He had killed their unborn. But few wept. More looked at him with adoration, worship. He had done something beyond their comprehension, and it had worked perfectly. In short, he had acted like the god they expected him to be. Powerful, terrifying, inscrutable. "This afternoon," he said, "each one of you will have a choice. As you know, the tradition is for wives and concubines to join the late God King on his pyre, except for those whom the new God King wishes to save for himself. You have served me well. I would give all of you a place in my harem. Gareth's Ethlings will join him in the fire. Let them serve him in the afterlife. But if it is your wish, I will not forbid you to join them." Now the women reacted as he would have expected. Some broke down and wept. Others stood taller and prouder. Some were still uncomprehending. But in moments, all dropped prostrate, hands stretched out for his feet. "I am walking blasphemy. Is there anything else?" he asked them. One of the women, a curvaceous teen from the upper harem, raised two fingers. "Yes, Olana?" She cleared her throat three times before she could speak. "Sia, Your Holiness. She wasn't counted among the pregnant girls. She got real sick and went to the Meisters so she wouldn't lose her baby. She never came back." Dorian's stomach twisted. It was like hearing his own death sentence 20 years before the fact. He wondered if he'd dreamed of this, and was only now remembering the dream, or if his dread was purely natural. He looked at Hopper, who'd paled. Hopper served the lower harem, so the detail had escaped him, but he still looked aghast to have missed it. Dorian gestured, and the man shuffled out of the room as quickly as his stilted gait would allow. Wanhope would send men to hunt this woman and whatever Verdmeister had taken her. But they wouldn't find her. One Hope had forgotten the first rule of massacring innocents. One always gets away.